I woke up this morning with just a huge sense of excitement with what God has. God has available to us. I'm sure mothers and fathers and students are also going, maybe a little sense of fear and trembling. Going, do these school administrators know what they've done and allow these people to graduate? But it's all the course that has to be done. And Adrian was so excited about his truck last night. He was just like beaming, you know. And he wanted to show everybody his truck. And he goes, "You want to see my truck? You 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 want to see my truck?" I said, "Yes, I want to see your truck." I said, "But I have a question for you." I said, "Can I drive your truck?" And he's stunned, you know. He's like, I said, "The answer to that is no." I said, learn that phrase. When somebody at school says, "Can I drive your truck?" No. Do not allow people to drive your truck. And it's been an awesome, awesome, awesome week in God. It has been a very trying week in the sense of the world. I'm not, oh my gosh, I just don't know if I can handle this situation. And yet, God always showed up. Things would happen, and I said, "God, what are we going to do? How are we going to handle this? God, only you can do this. I can't." And he showed up, and I didn't even have to handle it at all. And I was amazed and in awe of what God can do. The things that were meant for evil, he turned to good. Amen. Even in the midst of a storm. Even when there was tornadoes, I was going, I laughed. I went, "Ha, ha, ha, ha." I said, "You thought you were scaring me. You made it turn into good." And I'll tell you about it here in a minute. And so I was going, who can hide from God? Who can hide from God? Nobody can. Nobody can. And we usually use that phrase when people are hiding from God for bad things. You know, "Oh, I'm in sin, so I don't want God to see me." Like they can hide from God. I'm not doing good with God, so I don't want to be around the presence of God. You don't have a choice. Adam and Eve, God walks into the garden. "Adam, Eve, where are you?" You see, it was in that time that Adam and Eve were probably always waiting at the same spot, waiting for God to come into the garden and going, "Hey, we're here, we're ready, let's go for the walk." You know, they were probably just waiting for God to show up. But this particular day, where were they? Where were they? "Where are you? Where are you?" And they said, "We're over here." "Why are you over there? Why are you hiding? Because we're naked. Who told you you were naked? Well, you've been naked before. You were naked yesterday. Why do you even know you're naked? Why are you different? Because, well, Jonah, poor Jonah, go preach in Nineveh. No, I don't want to. Yeah, you're going to go. No. I love when Sharon comes home and tells me about her three-year-olds. And she tells them, go wash your hands. No. Your three-year-old. No. Go sit on your pockets. No. And it amazes me that this miniature little body has the ability to look up and go, no. And it amazes me because they don't have the sense of this big person can make you do what you want them to do. He said, well, you are going to go wash your hands or sit on your pockets or do whatever I tell you to do. But no. Well, Jonah had the same mentality. Go preach in Nineveh. No. Well, what if I make you? Big fish comes along, swallows him up, spits him out. And this one preacher had this great rendition of the thing saying, think of Jonah being inside of this big fish's stomach, this belly, and he's all bleached out from the acids, and he's totally white. Has seaweed hanging off of him, and he's spit out, and he comes out of the big fish out on the beach, and he's going, repent! And these people are going, okay, I think I will. It's kind of scary. God has a way of getting your attention. And then there's this boy who gets a motorbike. He's so excited about his little motorbike. And his mom's going to the store. And he says, boy, don't you ride your motorbike while I'm not here at the house. And it's too big of a temptation. He's got to get out there. He's got to ride that bike because he has restrictions. He can't ride here. He can't ride there. He's only supposed to ride it when his parents are home. So he's waiting until she leaves the house. She leaves the house. And he gets out there on that motorbike. And he's calculated how long she's going to be at the store. He's calculated how much time he has. And he gets back. So until she gets back, he rides. True story. She goes. He rides. He gets back. He gets the bike put up. And by the time she gets home, he's already laying in front of the TV watching cartoons. And he's like, she walks in. And she says to him, I told you not to ride that bike. And because you did, you can't ride your bike for a week. How did she know? How did she know I rode the bike? Well, years and years later, four motorbikes later, he said, Mom, how did you know? She says, well, you were laying on your belly, and all in the back of your shirt was all that mud. And you threw up on from your motorbike, so I knew you were out there riding. So yeah, we can't get away. Can't get away from moms, we can't get away from God. You know? But you know, it's not what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the eyes of the Lord search to and fro on the earth, searching, whose hearts are turned toward Him. We can't get away from God. For those He wants to bless, for those who He wants to give and bless and move in their lives, He wants to pour His Spirit upon the people here on earth so that what? So that they may make a mark on this earth for Him. You know? He doesn't just save us and leave us. It's not about the things that we want and what He wants us to have, us to go to heaven. He's going, I want to make a mark here on earth. Well, how is He going to do that? He's going to do that by handing it to you to be a blessing. Ooh, going to fall down. To be a blessing to this earth. It's going to come through your hand. It's going to come through the hands of God. But it's going to come through you. All of these people in Oklahoma, all these people in Missouri, all of these things that are happening, these devastating things that are happening, first responders are going to come and they're going to have a heart for people. But God's going to send them. They're going to be discerners of the things that are happening, and they're going to hear the hearts and cries of people. They're going to hear because God has heard. Because God has heard what is going on. Something happened this morning, which, do you know that Sheriff Painter died this morning? The Sheriff of Midland, yeah. He died. They tried to revive him this morning and weren't able to. And I thought, he was a good man. He was a Christian man. He stood up for righteousness, and he had a wisdom about his job and about the city of Midland. And I thought, oh Lord, the death of this man brings an opening, and I pray that there be a man who has the same type of wisdom, character, and who has the heart for that city that this man did. We need men like that in those positions. As like Sheriff Painter. See, we have to have a heart for not just Crane, but for the Permian Basin. You know, we need to pray in those type of people. See, we're here for the kingdom of God. We're not just here for ourselves. We're not just here for this church. And I'm not talking about this building. We're here for the kingdom of God. We're here for all of the churches to stand in the gap that all the churches are filled with Spirit-filled people doing the will of God. That all of them know what God is doing, and that all of them are obeying the will of God. Let us be those Spirit-filled people, knowing and moving with what God wants to be done. So, let's pray. Let's pray, Father. Fill that position with a godly man in Midland, Father. Let it not be vacant. Well, God knows what happened. And God, I believe God will do something. Because there's a praying people in Midland, and there's a praying people in the Permian Basin. That scripture, Tom, I didn't know if you had put that up there, 2 Chronicles 16:9.
For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. Isn't that great? The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. So He's looking for us. We can't hide from Him. Elijah, when he was distraught, when Elijah was scared, when Elijah was hiding under a bush, God was looking for him. And you know, when Elijah didn't have food, he was like, man, he was in a bad position. He sent the ravens to feed him. Whenever you're in a bad position, do not be afraid to call out unto the Lord. Do not ever be afraid. I don't care how far you think you're away from God, you are not far enough to reach back unto God. You're not far enough to say, God, I need you. Let me tell you, the worst of men can reach the Lord. He is ready. He is as close to you as your lips. I was telling Sharon about in our prayer group this morning, there is a lady who's very close to us. She hadn't been to church here probably. And I said 2 years, and they said probably longer than that. But she belongs to us. She's family. She's someone who we love, and she loves us. There's no doubt. But she hadn't been here in a long time because of circumstances, because of she has a husband who's sick. But I'm going. She goes, I need to come to church. And I said, I agree with you. You need to be with us. You need to be a part of us. And she goes, I just need to be there. And I said, what will it take? I said, she goes, I just need it. I said, exactly. I don't know what keeps her. Well, I do. But I said, there will always be resistance. There will always be something that keeps you from going that extra step. But always understand that God will never give up on you. We will never give up on you. We'll never do that. Why? Because of the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord desires that. So, we need to be sensitive. God is still searching her. It says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the innermost parts of the belly. God has something within us, searching us, always looking for us, always seeing what is it, what's going on? What's going on in here? What's going on with Cole? What's happening? There is nothing hidden. Anything he tries to hide, the Lord knows. The spirit of the man is a candle of the Lord, searching all the innermost parts of the belly. Wow. The very thing we try to get away with is the very thing God's going, you're trying, but it's not working. It can't. The very thing that we were, Sharon and I, we have these deep, what we think are deep conversations. It amazes me that these conversations are the very thing that is happening not only in our lives, but are happening in the body life of this congregation. And I'm going, in the body life of this, we're becoming united.
united in this body. Well, doesn't that ring true to what God is showing us that is true in this body? Because what's happening in my toe, I'm very concerned about. I'm very concerned if this toe is hurting. Because this toe is going to take me to the doctor if it's not working right. You know what I'm saying? This concerns me. So when things are going on in this body life, we should always be concerned. But God is melding us together. And it is a real thing. It's a real thing that's happening. It's this exciting. The thing that Melody was telling me about that was going on in her life, I was going, you know, you haven't been here in 3 years, but I want you to know that that's the very thing that's happening in our body. You haven't been there in 3 years, but let me tell you what, the Spirit of the Lord still has you attached to the things that are going on in here. I was amazed. She didn't know. She hadn't been there. How do you know these things? She just knew by her own life that she was going through. God was speaking to her. God was telling her things. I'm going, oh my gosh. That's the Spirit of the Lord. That's the Spirit of God. I am amazed. So amazed. I want to go back to Job chapter 11. I ended this last week with Job chapter 11. And it was a promise of God. Remember, Job had gone through so many things that his friends were telling him, you know, why don't you just curse God and die? You know? Have you, not only would you get rid of the misery that you're going through, but you kind of get rid of our misery too. We're tired of seeing you go through it. You know, you lost everything, and your wife's complaining all the time about you. You know, and you lost all your stuff. You're not really much good to anybody, are you? Why don't you just curse God and die? Again, all this stuff, you're just really no good. Well, then, chapter 11, starting with verse 15. There's a prophetic word that not only was given, but was given to us. Then you can lift up your face to Him without stain of sin and unashamed. Yes, you shall be steadfast and secure, and you shall not fear. For you shall forget your misery, and you shall remember it as waters that pass away. And your life shall be clearer than the noonday and rise above it. Though there be darkness, it shall be as the morning, and you shall be secure and feel confident because there's hope. Yes, you shall search about you, and you shall take your rest in safety. You shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And yes, many shall sue for your favor. God gives them a promise, and He says, look, you go through some stuff, but it's going to work some stuff in you. You're going to rise up, and you're going to look at things differently. You and people are going to look at you and go, wow,
Now that's a man who has been through some things. And he knows, and he has wisdom, and he and his life will be clearer than the noonday. That's God. That's God. Isn't that what you want to be? I mean, isn't that where you want to be? Isn't that the maturity that you would like to have? Where you have the wisdom to be able to spread, to be able to give, to be able to say, hey, now, if... I was asking this man one time. He had come into the credit union. He was a pretty sage man. He was he'd been in Crane probably all his life. And I asked him, I said, how much stuff do you actually own? That's probably not an appropriate question to ask a man. I said, but how much stuff do you actually own? He goes, oh, I don't own a lot of stuff. He said, I said, but you're always busy. He said, yeah. You know, I like to keep myself busy. I said, but you seem very successful. He says, well, I guess I don't count successful as other men do. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, I wouldn't be a very good surgeon. What do you mean by that? He said, well, if I were to operate on a man and I made the cut and I sewed him up and the stitches looked good, I would consider that surgery a success. But the man died, I'd still be okay. What's going on? You're right. You wouldn't be a very good surgeon. He said, but I thought that looks good. It's going, so success to some people may not be the right word for that. That wouldn't be a very good surgeon. I said, I understand what you're saying. He said, so what do you count as success? Well, I consider success is I have the wisdom of God. There's a lot of people who consider them successes because they have the wisdom of the world. Oh, man, you know, yeah, I know how to do a spreadsheet. Oh, yeah, I've built up all of this wealth and this fortune. Oh, yeah, I've got all of this. But, man, they don't have the wisdom of God. Whoa. Whoa. Woe is them. Why? Because when it comes down to the final thing, how will they count? How will God count them? Well, you made a lot of money, but I'm sorry. As far as jewels and crowns in my heaven, they're not worth much. The eyes of the Lord are upon you. Where is our security? How does He want to bless you? In Proverbs 15:3, He says, the eyes of the Lord are every place, beholding the evil and the good. It is beholding the evil and the good. He's looking. He's seeing. He's weighing the evil and the good. In Proverbs 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. You have that up? 34? Proverbs 34:15? Oh, 34? There's not a 34? Did I write that down? Oh, I'm sorry. Psalms. I read it wrong. I read it wrong. It's Psalms 34:13. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. Oh my gosh. You'll have to forgive me if I start to cry, but you know me. Yesterday, there was a prophet that visited a church where Carmen is at, and she's on staff at Mid-Cities, and this prophetic man, they had a particular meeting where they met with just the staff, and this prophetic man was prophesying over Carmen, and we transcribed it. And the first part is, I'm going, yeah, that's right on. But let me just read it to you. Hi, Carmen. Carmen, hi. How long have you been here at Mid-Cities? About 4.5 years. All right. What's your full name? Carmen Alicia Rodriguez. All right. Are you single? I am. All right. Do you have siblings? I have an older brother and a younger brother. Lift your hands out. Look at me. You got a lovely big heart. You'll never suffer from a small heart. When you care with all your heart. In fact, you are not half-hearted about anything. You care. There's a gift of encouragement described in Romans 12. Which that is supernatural gifts to bring encouragement, and that's you. People feel, I feel better around her. I feel lifted around her. There's a supernatural gift of encouragement that's going to mark your life. Even people who are depressed, scorched, when they get around you, they're going to be encouraged. Now, I'm going to teach you how to use this to encourage yourself. Now, David, in a hard time, whenever he was thinking there was catastrophic loss, to encourage himself, I'm going to begin to teach you. You always were, why am I better at encouraging others than encouraging myself? On your downest days, you can encourage others. When you could barely smile, you can still encourage others. That's the gift of God at work in your life. But I'm going to help you to encourage yourself. I'm going to teach you what is on your downest days, pardon my grammar, to encourage yourself in the Lord. My grace is going to come to you. I want you to know you're going to have a personality. It is like touching God's Spirit. It'll lighten up the room. You're quite a character. You're great with words. You're great at telling stories. You have a unique ability to make those you love laugh. And daughter, you are yet to even comprehend the beauty I have given you. I want you to know I'm going to bless you in this church. I'm going to use you in this church. You're going to have a unique role in this church. You are also very good with the next generation. You're naturally good with kids. You're also very, very good at changing the atmosphere wherever you are. Like your presence, when your spirit touches it, it can clean the atmosphere. I'm going to bless you and use you. My church is in your future. And I'm going to use you in what you do right now. And what do you do right now? I'm on staff at this church. I figured so. What do you do here? I oversee our next steps with Mickey at this campus and women's ministries and facilities. I keep thinking you need to be on staff. That's good to know you're on staff. Okay. And then there was this big pause. Let me ponder something before I say it. You are not the first person in your family to be called. Not the first generation to be called. And your mom and dad knew the call of God in their life. And your mom and dad knew the call of God in their life, and good people. But the mantle has slipped from your shoulders some, and you love God. And the love, and you love the house of God, and it's not just a job to you. You wouldn't be happy doing anything else. I'm going to use you. I'm going to bless you. You're a good communicator too. You're only good. You're very good at communicating, talking with people, small group leadership. Daughter, I'm going to bless you, use you. What are your parents' names? Arthur and Sharon. Where do they live? In Crane, which is about an hour away from here. There's a fresh touch coming on your mama. I'm going to touch her soul. It has not been the easiest of times for her. The bottom has kind of fallen out of some things. It has not been the easiest time for siblings as well. And your mama has kind of been besieged with things for 2 years. And I'm not all spiritual, some physiological. And there has been extended family things that have weighed down on her very heavy. And if that wasn't enough, your dad has had some. And if that wasn't enough, your dad has had his own hurdles to jump, like it's been a tough, tough season for them. But I want you to know, I have not forgotten your mother. I have not forgotten my promise to her. And I am just reaching in to help them, says the Lord.
Yes.
You're a dutiful daughter, and we love that you've been deeply burdened. But right now, what the enemy has meant for evil, I have meant for good. And I am breathing fresh life. Now let me tell you a secret. There's a gift of faith in you. And it's easy to have faith for things, faith for people, faith for couples. That's my gift in you. And as you follow me, I'm going to hone your gifts. And I'm going to bless you. God's eyes search to and fro to see whose hearts are turned toward Him. You can't hide from God. He won't let you. This happened in Midland, in a room, while I was up here eating barbecue. Sharon was sitting in a chair. I come home, and she said, "Did you get it? This text from Carmen?" I said, "No." Or I just didn't pay attention. And she handed it to me, and I listened, and I did that ugly crying thing, you know. I said, "Oh my God." And I said, "God listens, and God hears, and God desires." And all of the doubts that I had about the future melted away. I said, God wants what He wants, and He's willing to expend men on my account. He's willing to do whatever it takes so that we do what we need to do in this place and in that place and in all of the places around us. See, where do we fit? Where do we fit? You know, Sharon we'll get her knee fixed. You know, it's a cause of concern. She needs to get fixed. She needs to get healed up. Not because to get rid of the pain, but she got work to do. You know? And I've got things to get done. I'm not concerned about the heart, that stress test that I took. I'm not concerned about it a bit. The technician that I had was a spirit-filled black woman, and she filled the bill. Let me tell you, she was a really neat lady. And after the end of it, we prayed together, and I was going, there are people out there that can hear us. But let me tell you, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what the future is. I know this. God does. And He's going to take care of every bit of it. So, I can breathe easy. I can rest. I can rest. And not have to wring my hands about, oh my gosh, what's going to happen now? Mm-mm. No. He sends things. And says, son, old son of mine, old daughter of mine, I got you. I got you.